Happy Monday, all you beautiful global traders. This is TJ.
And this is Tony, and you're listening to iHeartTrade,
where we talk about anything and everything that is international trade.
Hey, Tony.
Hey, TJ. How's it going? Are you surviving?
Yeah, I'm alive and bored out of my mind, but yes, surviving. Yeah, if that's what we're calling it, that's what I'm doing.
So you have like a wicked case of cabin fever right now?
Lord Jesus, like I don't. You know what's funny is that I don't even know if I always want to go out, but knowing that like you're not supposed to makes me want to do it more. Maybe it's the temptation of it all makes me go stir crazy, right? Like, man, I need to get out. But it's good over here. It's good. It's good in Texas. It's fine. To be honest, it's been raining like crazy anyway, so I don't know what I would go out there and do. So I was, you know, splashing some puddles. But yeah, here we are.
So this week's episode is going to be about the thing that everybody's talking about, coronavirus, right? I bet y'all sick to death of hearing about coronavirus, but we're going to talk about it anyway. So what kind of things are happening in your city or in your state? Like what type of restrictions or bans or our things are in place in Texas, in Dallas, Texas?
You know, so here is what interesting in Dallas. Like, so there is a general like shutdown. I say general because it's kind of like, you know, like restaurants have been told that they need to shut down, places where people together in typically larger numbers or places that see high traffic, right? So lounges, bars, restaurants, movie theaters, like all those types of places, right? But I still notice that some people are having to go to work. Like that is still a thing, which I don't know how that works from the larger scheme of things, but I do think that's kind of odd, right? Certain people go to work, some people are being told not to come to work and they're shut down. But either way you look at it, overall, it's definitely affecting, which I'm sure is the same in every state, it's affecting jobs, pay, just like a number of things. And I'm wondering how they're going to deal with rent and utility companies and think about all like your single parent homes, right? So I don't know, I'm rambling at this point, but yeah, that's what I'm seeing down here in Texas. I'm seeing a lot of that. I don't know if they're going to push it any further and go with like a, and when I say Texas, I guess I should specifically say Dallas, knowing how big Texas is. I don't know if they're going to push it further than that. One of the things,
so have they closed schools statewide?
Oh, yeah, like all schools are closed. So, yeah, schools are completely shut down, which I don't even know what they're going to do with the rest of this year, including universities are shut down. Yeah, it's a very interesting endeavor. And one of the things I'm curious about is why there isn't, I feel like there should be more testing, more random testing, but I don't know how much it costs to really test someone, right? Like I know they have like coronavirus test kits and things of that nature, but yeah,
I could be wrong, but I feel like they don't have enough tests for random testing. I think it's only enough tests for targeted testing, right?
That could be the case,
right? So in Milwaukee, so I'm in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and in Wisconsin we have the same thing, right? The kids are all out of school, so my kids have been, I've been working from home all week, and
you and me both.
And my kids are here, and I'm trying to help them to do online learning while I have back-to-back meetings all day. So that's interesting. And I think the teachers are learning to do online learning, right? So those of us who have like worked remotely plenty, right? This is not news. We're like, yeah, I know this. I've been to this movie before. But I think it really is a struggle for teachers who have structured their entire curriculum and delivery in this, you know, in-person format, and now they have to totally revise it. And you can see some of them are less tech savvy than others. So I've actually given my a couple of the teachers, like the FIED teachers, had the kids doing this Word document for activity logs, right? And then they had to like fill it out, and then I don't know what it was really complicated to figure out in this Google Classroom. And I made them a Microsoft form. I'm like, here, this is easier. Why don't you just do this? And I don't know if they just didn't know, or I try to give them hints because I've been a remote worker on and off. You know, I've had to do it enough times that I'm pretty comfortable with it. So I try to give some of these teachers who seem like, based on how complex and not intuitive what they've given my kids, I try to give them tips. I don't know if they find it helpful or if they find me to be an annoying asshole trying to teach them how to do their job. I don't know which it is.
You know what? I am not surprised. That doesn't surprise me not one bit. But you know what though? We are a community. Takes a village to raise a child. And you know, we all need to be open-minded in this challenging time.
Yeah, so one of the other things in Wisconsin, they did the same thing, like the closing the restaurants and the bars and changing it to delivery only. I don't know if bars are allowed to do alcohol takeout. I feel like no. I feel like it wouldn't make sense to do that. So like, why wouldn't you just go to the liquor store? That's still open. But I really thought that the great state of Wisconsin was going to lose their mind and like mutiny when they close the bars, and I'm actually very proud they're handling this like a bunch of champs.
Oh, we're
So
still early in the game. We're still very early in the game.
I'm just waiting for the prohibition bars to start popping up. Like,
Right?
we're doing this. We're not doing this with you anymore.
Tony's got a bar in her basement.
know, I'm just saying if it's not socially responsible, but I'm sure there are a couple of entrepreneurial minded folks who have come up with this idea. I feel like it's probably a thing. I just don't know about it because I'm not cool and young and hip anymore, so I don't find out about these things,
You
but I
know,
feel like that's
some get rich in the face of adversity.
probably. Never waste a crisis.
Right. There's always room to make money in a crisis. But no, it's been really, really interesting. I think the big thing that we really wanted to hop into while we're on here is just how this is affecting I want to say international economy, but almost feel like that's very broad, although I guess, you know, it touches on some of that, but specifically how
You know
this
what?
hits
Before we
international
go there,
trade.
what has your company been doing? Like, what have you seen your company doing to try to manage this and forecast it and adjust strategy and that kind of thing?
So I'm in a defense company. I'll say I'm not sure how we're really going to be affected by this. Like I'm paying very close attention, and I'm not really sure. I think one of the bigger things is that when it comes to like one of the things that my company did is they shut down all non-essential travel, right? So to me, what that says is that if you have a meeting where you got to go shake hands and go talk with the big person in another country, that you probably need to still potentially go make that happen, right? But there has been a big push for a lot of Skype meetings and, you know, phone calls and sticking with that form of communication, which is not absurd, right? I mean, it's the job done. But I don't know how this is really going to affect the defense industry because I'm a very big believer of the fact that when the world is in turmoil and things are chaotic, the defense industry tends to, you know,
That's your moment to shine.
yeah, that's what we come through. So, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but I do feel as though I have not seen a substantial impact other than how we are working. Like the working from home thing is very, very interesting. Seeing the different dynamics of people, right? Because in today's economy, right, you got all these young people and older people. It's a wide of people that you work with. So seeing how people adjust to working re remotely and kind of almost not having a home base in some instance, is really, really interesting.
So at my company, they did the same thing, right? The cutting non-essential travel that was done. And to your point, so you can see the differences in people's ability to get around the working from home thing. So my company put out like a whole bunch of information about like how to be efficient. I gotta be honest, I didn't look at any of this. Because it was a non-issue for me. I'm like, I have things to do, so I'm just gonna store that in a folder in case I need to. But I pretty much am like, I feel like I'm good. I'm not even gonna look at that. So but they did do a lot. So I was really impressed with how quickly they put training on our LMS and all those kinds of things. We're trying to help people. I don't know if it was helpful or good or not because I didn't trouble myself with it. I probably should just for posterity's sake. But yeah, this was like a non thing for me. But one of the things I see at my company, so we do my team, my leadership team has daily updates, right? Every day at 9:30.
I know that's a struggle.
My boss and the people who report to my boss have to call in and say, hey, what's going on? Is there any new developments? Is there any, you know, we have to keep a log of all these different things. Like, here's our different third-party providers. These are the ones who have a contingency plan. These are the ones who are impacted. These are the ones who are not. That kind of thing. Monitoring developments in different regions. Are they going to a shelter in place model? Are they shutting things down? Are things still able to get through the borders and that kind of stuff? I'm actually quite impressed with how my company has really, I feel like dealing with it as proactively as anyone can.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty, yeah, they have like this war room for all of our supplier management area to monitor tier one, tier two, tier three suppliers and see where they're at. So it's pretty robust. So I'm like, wow, way to pull out all the stops, guys. That's it's pretty impressive. But yeah, we're all working from home. Our plants have been shut down until the end of the month.
So you know
A
what
lot
I think
of
is really interesting. I just want to throw this out there because I think it's interesting that you say how well prepared they are. Well, if you think about it, this is kind of there was a jab, and that was the trade war, and then this is like the right hook. And
Oh God. Yeah, we just got pummeled.
oh yeah.
We just been getting black eyes left and
I
right.
don't know. It's very, very interesting. So I will say for any companies that were taking their supply chain very seriously after the trade war, that probably really gave them some edge over some of their the companies that they're competing with if they were already going through some of these exercises. Granted, there are some differences in the cause and effect of these two things, but yeah, it's I'm very curious as we keep paying attention to what's going on, some of the strategies that companies come out with in order to deal with this. 'Cause I mean, this is what, Tony, this is I mean, a year and a half of heartache and pain in the international trade space. And then 2 years because
Two years now,
and
yeah.
then I mean let's not forget that I mean Italy is seeing a very large impact from the coronavirus right now, very, very big. And that impact is very huge, especially when you start thinking about the BRICS exit and all that stuff that's been going on. I mean, definitely very global.
Yeah.
A lot of economies are affected right now.
I feel like there's a lot of comparison between the United States and Italy, and I don't think it's entirely a great one-to-one,
Yeah.
right? Because Italy has a dem there's a def demographic difference, right? They have a much older
Very
population
true.
than the United
Yeah.
States. So they're definitely more at risk. I think there's cultural considerations, right? Italian people kiss each other when they see each other, and they're much more hands-on and
Yeah, they better
touchy
stop doing
with each
that.
other, whereas Americans are very, we're pretty distant. Like if you just look at the way people stand in
Oh
line,
yeah,
at the way
like even when
right?
I see you,
We
I may be standing there and just text you and not say a word to you.
so we're not that touchy to begin with. Our population is much more spread out.
Very true. A lot of
So
space.
when people look at like the US trajectory numbers versus Italy and like, oh, this is what could happen to us, I kind of go, maybe that feels like a worst case scenario. I don't really feel like we would have the same experience, but I mean, I don't know. I'm not a statistician and I'm not a
I feel
virologist,
like
but
New York is the best example in the US of Italy. Very close, very jam-packed, a lot of people living on top of each other, right? Space is very limited. And with that being said, I think New York is in the top places right now in the US with the most
oh,
outbreaks.
the struggle is real in New
Yeah.
York. Yeah. But that's the thing is like I feel like that's probably not the same level of risk and concern that people need to have in Wyoming.
True. No, very, very true.
So have you heard about like so in your business, have you heard about like delays in your supply chain, like in getting supply and materials or logistics being slowed down or demand being slowed
I
down? Is there
yeah.
any of that in the
Yeah,
defense sector?
well, I will say this. I think one of the bigger things is the slowdown of how conversations are conducted. I feel like a lot of the defense industry is based around like physically doing shows, doing demonstrations, having people, right? Because what you're buying is millions and millions of dollars, right? Or even if it's hundreds of thousands, it's very expensive when these deals are made. And in dealing with these different things, I think that the slowdown is really in how quickly the agreements and where. And I feel as though what I'm seeing is that a lot of your smaller defense trades and agreements are not really like when you talk about priority, your top one, two, or three deals is really, I feel like, a primary focus for each business unit. And a lot of these smaller ones are kind of being put on the back burner, especially when you consider not just the trading, like the physical going back and forth, but the production and the manufacturing, right? You have X amount of engineers working to build this and engineering hours and engineering dollars. In this climate where all this stuff is going on, where is that focus going to be given, right? So if you got a $500,000 defense trade deal on the table versus the 50 million, right? Like, I find that the companies and the business units tend to rally around, of course, the bigger effort with the bigger financial impact. So I think that's one of the things I'm mostly seeing. So I guess that's a little bit of all that, right? You got your manufacturing in there, you got your ability to close deals and meet with different people in various countries. All of that is in effect. And then I will say, for the things where we are working with US suppliers, I mean, I think we are seeing the impact of that right now, where I think the US is, in some ways, essentially saying, if you are not an essential business to helping fight this virus, worker time is limited, space is limited, people aren't showing up for work, people are being let go, like all sorts of things, all in the effort to keep up with social distancing. So yeah, I think that all those things, I'm seeing all that in my space, but I think that would be very similar in your space and in most other spaces. I can only imagine if you're working with US suppliers that you're probably having some of the same struggles that you're having with foreign suppliers, to be quite frank. This is very much so a global, it's very much so impacting supply chains globally. I don't think it's very much, it's not just in one country or one area or one type of supplier. So this is a bit unprecedented, at least in my lifetime.
Well, pandemics aren't they're not unprecedented. People throw that word around a lot. They always be saying, this is unprecedented. Our response is unprecedented. Pandemics aren't unprecedented. We have a long, ugly history of those. However, before mostly, well, take your chances. I hope you don't die right now. Now we're doing other things. But so I work in automotive, right? So in automotive, it's in the news, right? All the automotive manufacturers have closed their plants. both to, again, to maintain the social distancing, but also I think part of it, and this isn't said, right, but I think it's implied that realistically, when a lot of states and areas are putting shelter in place rules like New York, New Jersey, Illinois, most recently, in California, nobody's going to dealerships. Dealerships are closed. You work in automotive, dealerships are closed. Nobody's buying cars, nobody's buying vehicles, nobody's buying,
True.
anything that you would buy at a dealership, right? And so you do the math. Well, if you're not producing anything, you're not selling anything,
Oh, very,
right?
very true.
What do you do? So there's definitely a lot of supply constraints because automotive is notorious for having incredibly complex supply chains, right? And so it's not just your immediate suppliers. It's your tier two and tier three. So your suppliers' suppliers and their suppliers' suppliers, right? So it becomes very systemic, where, yeah, your supplier might be fine, but they can't get what they need, and or all the way down the line. So it kind of made sense, right? If you can't get supply, okay, well, then we might as well not contribute to the problem and slow down the manufacturing, okay. Which also makes sense because, oh, look, there's no demand. So, where does that leave us all? Crickets. It's not a very good
No, it's not.
scenario, right? You start reading the tea leaves on that one. I mean, no, there hasn't been any announcements of grand layoffs in that sector yet, but if you read the tea leaves, I would imagine how long does that continue before we're like, oh, well, we probably don't need to keep paying all these people because we're not buying anything, not making anything, not selling anything. What are all these people doing here?
Oh, I
Right?
definitely agree with that. You
So.
know, one of the other interesting things that I think I've seen come out of this, and this is, and I think it's probably one of the most impactful for global supply chains, is the fear factor. Present fear and past fear with the trade war, and now future fear of what are we going to do going forward to deal with these types of things? Right. And I think that some of the news that has come out is also terrifying, right? Like if you see some of the news articles and you'll see things where they say, oh, you know, coronavirus can live on this type of material for X period of time, right? And I think that what companies are going to end up is a lot of things that they're going to have to be able to speak to, right? And one of those things that I think is going to be really big, which drives that fear, is how to protect your employees, right? How do you get people to come to work when they think that the box that their goods came in, that they have to unpack or stack on shelves that came from China, is it you know, it inevitably has coronavirus on it, right?
Well, I guess you're gonna have to put out a training telling people not to lick the box. I
But
mean,
it's th this is a real thing, right? Because people's fears typically they tend to surpass reality in many ways. And I think that you will end up with a lot of people saying, you know, hey, we don't want goods from China. We don't want, I think I saw one article that said that of all things, coronavirus lives on polypropylene plastics longer than any other type of material, right? So that's a very specific headline. And you and I, Tony, was one of the biggest things that comes out of China that all of our industries here in the US use.
probably polypropylene plastic goods,
So I
yeah.
mean, like the fear behind that, right, wrong, whether that's correct, whether it's wrong, whether the virus can live on there for 50 years, it doesn't matter. It's going to drive home the fear in your employees, which is going to push it further up the chain to your directors, your presidents, your CEOs, and it's really going to force American companies to really take a hard look at how they deal with supply chain. I know one of the things that we did before we got on this call was I was looking at Mexico to see where they were at in this response. And currently, They're business as usual, I believe. The
Oh yeah, Mexico has no F's to
No,
give
they're
right
like,
now.
us slowing down. I think the direct quote from the president, if I remember correctly, was us doing shutdowns would directly impact the poorer people in Mexico and limit their ability to work, and it would further slow down the economy. It's something else, all right. But I mean, that's the case everywhere. But they have decided to take a very different response, which actually I find to be so interesting due to the fact that they are our neighbors.
I don't think they're wrong about that, though. I mean, if you look at what's happening right now economically, right? And this is bound to get me some haters. I don't know if some people are gonna tell me I'm a monster, but if you look at the economic consequences, right? It's not just life at all costs, right? That isn't the thing, right? The quality of life
It
is a
is.
consideration, right? And so at the point that you wipe out entire industries, right? I mean, because this is catastrophic to certain businesses. This is catastrophic to my business, right? I'm terrified of being laid off in a couple of weeks. And so if you consider those things, right, the catastrophic impact to the largest number of people for, I mean, at a certain point, right, is the cure worse than the disease? That's a legitimate question. So when you look at it's really, I think, worth considering how other countries have approached it, right? So Singapore, for example, I think has been very successful in how they've managed it, and they've given the advice to companies to have half their people work remotely and half of them on site and switch off and then not interact outside of work to keep things going, right? So business as usual with targeted isolation as needed. I think that was the right approach,
Yeah.
right? If you look at the Netherlands, what the Netherlands did was they took who are our vulnerable people? You're elderly, you're immune compromised. Okay, if you are vulnerable, here is a place for you. We will seclude you, right? We will take care of you. But everybody else, business as usual. We aren't shutting down our economy. We're
That is
not
an
doing that,
interesting approach. I can't say I
right?
disagree with that.
And it I actually think both Singapore and Netherlands, I feel like, have the right approach. Honestly, I think the United States kind of was a little bit late to do anything. And then when they did decide to do something, they kind of overcorrected for their late response, right? And so here we are, and now we have this catastrophic impact to our economy. So, I mean, I really like, I personally am a fan of the Netherlands approach, right? But I will also say that in the United States, that's probably a lot harder to execute, just based on our infrastructure and population and like the disbursement and how big we are and everything else, right? That may not have been practical approach for us, so that could
You
be a
know, I
fair
think
challenge,
that's an interesting
but
conversation because I wonder, and I can't speak off the top of my head, but I wonder how retirement works in a place like Singapore or the Netherlands. Like are older people still in the workforce? Because if they have an economy where that's really not the case, then people retire at what I consider to be good ages, right? Like staying at home is a more realistic thing for older people. And people with compromised immune systems, right? If you have a good healthcare system and things like that, where they can stay at home and be supported and afford the things they need, where those who don't have as much of a concern can go to work. I will say, I don't think America's culture nor economy is set up in that fashion. I think, I mean, think about all the people from 50 to 60 something that you still see in the workforce.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Well, I think like here in Wisconsin, I think one of the folks who died of coronavirus was a 50-year-old dude working at Mercury Marine, right? Like, at least that's what my mom told me. Don't take that to the bank. That's what she just told me on the call I had before this. So, That might be sketchy. Sorry, I'm a
Yeah.
big Marine, my man. But yeah, it was definitely that. So I think one of the outcomes of this, right, will be looking at who did it best, who wore it best, right? And who had, because different countries have taken wildly different responses. And I think you'll only know until after the fact, right, who had the
I
best one
definitely agree.
and who did it correctly. And I think that will definitely factor into countries' pandemic planning. But I also think into companies, right? Because I can tell you earlier this year, we were doing risk maps for the year. What is it? Where are our risks? Pandemic wasn't on it. It was definitely not on the map.
No one was planning for that one. No one at all. Now, Tony, one of the things I would like to do, because I know that we've been working hard to try to keep these things at 30 minutes. I wrote down a couple things, and I'm gonna read them to you, and I just want you to give me your feedback, your response, quick, pointed, and I think this will be fun. We haven't done this before, but I actually think this is really entertaining. Are you ready?
I'm ready. You're kind of surprising me out here in left field with something, but I'm ready. Let's do
So,
it.
articles I read. One of the articles that I read pointed to this being very concerning for Democrats and people who are a bit more liberal, because there's a big belief that this is definitely going to push the nationalistic agenda, and leading up to the election that's coming up, and pushing for the bring our manufacturing back home. How do you feel about that?
I think the coronavirus epidemic does support a more nationalistic, protectionist type of position. I think they can definitely spin that narrative to suit their agenda. Absolutely. That said, there's a whole lot of holes in that, right? There are just some things, no matter how you slice it, whether you like it or not, that will never make sense to make in a country, right? Certain countries are just better positioned for it, and economically, it will never make sense. So this, we should make everything here. No, you shouldn't, dummy. So a great example of that is paper toilet seat covers, all right? I think we might have talked about this before, but like the only objective with paper toilet seat covers is to make them as thin and cheaply as possible. People are never going to pay more for those things, right? Because it's a throwaway item. You use it to insulate your ass from the toilet seat. Like it's never going to make sense. And the capital investment required to make those things is so high. No US company will ever do that, ever. So you either accept that that's not a consumer product that you have anymore, or you accept that it's going to be imported, right? And made from recycled materials and made by other capital equipment in
All
other parts of the
facts.
world. And that's just the deal. So I do think in some ways it does support the national
All right.
nationalistic agenda. However, I do also think that from a predictions of trade standpoint, right? One of the things that was announced, I think it actually was announced on Friday, it should come out in the Federal Register on Monday, is they're offering an opportunity to apply for tariff relief. And I don't know what the scope of that is because I haven't seen the Federal Register yet, for companies in light of the whole coronavirus thing. So while they're not backtracking from the China and the steel and aluminum tariffs and all of that, you know, all those agendas, they're not backtracking from those agendas. So without admitting that, oh yes, this was a terrible idea, they're offering companies a way out of it, right? So a lot of CEOs are definitely petitioning right now for, hey, can we get rid of these? Because we're already suffering. We are in a stranglehold, right? So again, don't waste the crisis. So a lot of CEOs are being very proactive and recognizing that. But that said, the current administration is not exactly one to admit defeat or admit that they were wrong,
we are
right? That
not
they
doing
miscalculated.
that.
Well, it's easy to take a really aggressive position when things are good, right? When things are not, and now you've burned all those bridges, right? It's really hard to walk back from that. So they're offering this other way out of the tariffs, and what that's going to look like and how often people are going to approve is that truly is unprecedented. So hard to know what's going to come of that. But I do think from a trade perspective, what coronavirus is going to represent, it's going to represent at least no more escalation, right? If you're trying to do business, global business planning and strategy, right? I don't think we're going to see any escalation in current trade tariffs. So there was the proposed escalation related to the Section 301 Airbus that was supposed to come out, was it next week, I think. And I don't think we'll see an escalation there just because of everything else going on, really. You're going to add some more stuff to it.
I agree.
I don't think that's going to be the case. I also think it offers an opportunity for de-escalation, but I don't think that, again, the administration's not going to admit, my bad. You know, they're not about to do that. So they'll offer some backdoor ways to de-escalate that situation a little bit. So
no, it's all good. No, I like that. All right, so I got three more here. I'm gonna shoot these off. So there's also another news article out there that discusses the U.S. Air Force flew 500,000 coronavirus test kits from Italy into Tennessee. When they were questioned about it, there were no comments, no further discussion. Nothing else was said about it, but there are pictures circulating of all these kits coming in. Opinion on that? Feedback, anything?
Good. Get them in. Get the test kits in.
We are a global economy. People have to understand that. All right. So next one.
Here's my opinion. I'm actually surprised U.S. Pharmaceutical hasn't done more to shore up that, right? To get in front of that. And actually the U.S. industry, right? So I have seen a couple of U.S. industries offering to retool, to try to make
necessary
supplies.
I saw some of that. I saw that
or whatever,
for
but it
antibacterial
hasn't
soap, too.
Yeah, but not as much as you would think, right? Not as much as you would think. So, yeah, there is some of that, but I feel like companies have been a little bit slow to move on that. And I feel like they're all hoping that this is going to be over quicker, sooner rather than later. And I don't know that that's the case, right? Is at this point, again, everyone has kind of went all in on this is a whole big deal. If you're a public figure, are you going to say, oh, this wasn't as big a deal as we thought?
Yeah, you don't want to say that at this point in time. That would be, oh, yeah, no, that's, oh, yeah. That is not the comment that you want to make. Not currently.
Right, so,
it'll be way too soon.
Well, even here in the state of Wisconsin, for example, they originally had suspended schools until April 6th, right? And now it's indefinite.
Oh, yeah.
It's until we let you know. We'll let you know when it's
we're
cool.
Getting the same thing. All right, so here's another one, and I think you will find this one interesting, and I think that you could probably give me 50 minutes on just this one, but give me 30 seconds. All right, you ready?
Oh. All right, I'm ready. Go ahead.
Saw another article from, let me see, this one was actually from, looks like this one was from CNN. No, this was from Forbes. Forbes has an article saying the coronavirus could be the end of China as a global manufacturing hub. Opinions on that?
I don't think so. I think they will still be a manufacturing superpower just because, again, it takes years to replicate those type of logistics networks. It takes years to replicate that kind of infrastructure. It takes years. If you think about the time it takes to get something approved because of all of the other participating government agency regulations and everything else, right? The trials that things have to go through, the commercialization process for many products is just really long, and you have to get suppliers approved, you have to get the process approved, and there's a lot of bureaucracy, and it's very, very difficult. And it literally, I mean, there are some products that literally takes a year and a half
Yeah, no,
before
that's
you can get in
very
the
true.
market,
It
right?
doesn't happen slowly. Manufacturing facilities are not set up overnight. Significance, it's a lot.
No, what I think you're going to see a lot more of, and actually, you've already seen this in the last 2 years, right? So China becoming a lot more like the US, right? Before they had all their manufacturing in China. Chinese companies manufactured in China because it was more cost effective to do. And then over the last, I mean, and you've seen this the last 20 years in China, where labor rates have gone up 15 to 20% per year, year over year for a long time. So China is not, from a labor standpoint, the
They
most
are
cost
not.
effective place to
Not to
manufacture.
mention the time it takes to
There
get
are a
it out
lot
of
of
China,
countries.
the actual physical logistics of getting it to where it needs to be.
I mean, you're
Yeah.
8 days from Shanghai to Long Beach. You know, I mean, so that doesn't go away. China, however, because of their Made in China 2025, and because I think they're just getting more involved and more mature in how they think about global business, right? So you see a lot of Chinese companies have done their own
Yeah.
investing, right? Absent the US, they've done their own investing in like the other regions of the South Pacific, like the Vietnams, the Malaysias, the Philippines. They've also done significant investment in Africa, which I'm really excited about, because I think Africa just has an incredible amount of potential if there's just some more investment in
I agree with
infrastructure
that.
there. But from a growth perspective, right, they're a young market from an economics perspective. So I think there's just a lot of untapped potential on the African continent. But and China's recognizing that, and they're actually probably much more advanced, and they're saying, where is the next place that we can shift all this
I
stuff
agree,
that
I
we don't
agree.
want to do to? All right, so I think, just like US companies, right, like the Apples, Apple might sell stuff here, but it doesn't make stuff here, right? So I think you'll see China transitioning to some of that. And that does insulate them a little bit, right? It insulates their companies from trade things, because trade restrictions are not based on who is the
Nope.
ultimate person getting the dollars, right? It's based on where is it manufactured,
Which
what
is
is
a
the
really
country of
smart
origin,
move
where
for
is it
them to
built. So if
diversify.
you
It's a very smart
diversify,
move, especially in the midst of the trade war.
absolutely. Well, and this is why the trade war is stupid. Sorry, not sorry. But this is why it's dumb. Because, yeah, you might have some short-term gains, but people are always going to find a way to make money, right? Think about what are their incentives. So if you have these Chinese companies, and okay, fine, you're going to tariff my goods out of China, I'll just move manufacturing to these five other companies, and then I just won't pay that, and then I still get
That was a great
the
evildoer laugh.
money. Right?
Yeah,
Right. I mean, that's what happens. That's what happens. So no, I don't think that. I think it will maybe accelerate some of their plans to diversify their own manufacturing base, right? For those Chinese companies, I think you'll see some of that, and they have a wider portfolio than just in within China, where it makes sense. But I don't think that it will radically change China as a powerhouse. But to that end, I also think that, I mean, and it's kind of surprising that more companies in the United States and more companies everywhere, right, haven't already got the message. Diversity in your supply chain is good. Not being single sourced is good. In this era of lean that went through like the 90s and the early 2000s, right, that lean manufacturing and just in time. So it was more economical to source all your goods because you get a better price by volume from one supplier, right? So that made sense. It was easier to plan for. It was faster, easier, cheaper. Go do that. And so your bottom line is better. But from a risk standpoint and
It
from a
is a
disruption
very
standpoint, it was a
different
terrible idea.
idea.
It
You know
always
what?
was.
That is actually a very interesting point of how we over time, especially with companies with much larger supply chains, it is very important and critical that we look at the different areas of our supply chains and really consider where it makes sense to maybe add a few extra suppliers and look at some other countries that you may want to source from. I think that's really critical.
Well, I think it becomes a question of how hard or expensive is it to come up with an alternative or to have a dual source strategy, right? There are some products where the cost is just astronomical to have, they're very segmented niche type of things where it was just ridiculous to have an alternative, right? And that's fair, but then, okay, then your inventory position probably needs to reflect that, right? And I don't know that supply disruption risk was really incorporated into our
No, I definitely
inventory
agree with that.
position,
Now, hold on.
right?
I got one more. So, one
All
of the
right.
things that have come out, you've seen it in articles, you've seen it in Reddit things, you've seen it in all these things, right? And one of them is always the conspiracy theory, right? People are saying, oh, well, this was invented in a lab and it was put out there to disrupt the world and so that a few people could benefit while the majority suffer, right? So with saying that, what do you feel if that's true, if there was any truth in that, who do you think would be some of the big winners at the end of this?
I think the winners. I mean, I'll be honest that I feel like that's a little bit far-fetched. I mean, I also don't think it's impossible because I never underestimate people's capacity for evil. But it just seems like a lot. It's too much that my tiny pea brain can't even deal with that right now. But I mean, the big winners, right, are people who are cash heavy, right? If I were a rich person right now, I'd wait till next week when the unemployment numbers come out and the stocks bottom out again, right? Buy
Oh,
up
yeah.
everything. Buy up everything. If you got the cash, buy up. What companies would you like to own today, sir? I mean, that's pretty much the deal. So I don't know. I mean, I feel when you say it like that, right? There's probably a lot of people who
Are
have
there
quite
are there any countries that you
a
think
bit,
come
quite a
out
bit.
of this in a much better position than when they went in?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, ones who are not affected, right? I have no idea. I honestly, I'm not smart enough to be able to answer that question. I'll just own that one. I don't know enough to be able to answer that
No,
one
it is a
intelligently.
very interesting conversation to have though. If you start looking at I think some of the winners may potentially be any other countries that the US or Europe and places like that would be potentially looking at for manufacturing, whether it's lower rates or less risk or better free trade agreements or whatever the deal is. I think some of those may come out as winners with what's going on in China. Because what I think is really interesting, and I think it's also a little dark and actually a little sad when you think of like us being a human population, right? Humans being everywhere in the world in different countries. But I think it's kind of sad to see that we are calling the virus the Asia virus, the Chinese virus, the what's the city? I'm not even sure if I'm saying it right, but the Wuhan
Wuhan.
virus, right? And I think that this type of shading in the public, in the journalists, putting this out there in that way definitely puts a really ugly color on China going forward. And once again, as I was talking about earlier, I think that drives into that notion of fear and that need to diversify. So I think some of the winners may be some of these other countries who have some similar, abilities and skill sets as China, but maybe they haven't received as much of the business wins for manufacturing as places in China. I think some of them may come out as a winner.
Oh no, the South Pacific. But I mean the shift towards the ASEAN region, right, has been happening for a
Agreed.
while.
I think
It's
they're going to
not
get a big
new.
push out of this.
I think you might see an right. You'll see an acceleration of a
I
trend that
agree.
was already occurring, but I don't feel like that'll be new. I do hope that one of the things that happens out of coronavirus, if there can be any silver lining in this madness. At all, right? I think some of the things that I hope happen is one, a de-escalation in the trade tensions, right? We have bigger fish to fry. We don't need your macho posturing anymore. Can we just,
Can we get back to business?
come to the table and resolve this? Can we get back to business? Absolutely. I hope that's one of the things that comes out. One of the other things that I hope comes out is companies admitting that they were lying about remote work. I gotta be honest. Having worked from home the last week, right? So I'm not a work from home person in general. I mean, you and I have had this conversation many times, right? That I do not think it intermittently, I am not more productive at home, right? But however, when I am like dug in and like I'm doing this long term, and more than for just today. Oh, I'm killing it. Oh, I'm absolutely killing it. It's so much better, right? And there was never any reason for me to be in the office other than FaceTime. But if you reorganize how you store information, how you make it accessible to people, how you make it so people can just find things without having to have a conversation and make it intuitive and that, right? And open up accessibility to things instead of locking them all down and all that kind of stuff, right? Show everybody what's on the
I agree.
buffet, let them get what they need. So if you go to that, which was always a better idea, it was always a smarter thing to do. There was just not a pressing reason to go through the pain of doing it. Now that there is a pressing reason to go through the pain of doing it, I think that causes companies
Yeah,
to reevaluate
absolutely.
white collar work. And here's the thing, I'm on board. Like, I am 100% on board. Please go do that because I can tell you as an employee, my loyalty to a company and the amount of salary that I demand for my job and all those things is very related to flexibility. And if I never have to show up to the office, I am definitely willing to take less money. I am definitely more loyal to you because you have offered me something that I maybe cannot get everywhere else. Now you've opened up
Oh, I
talent
definitely
to the
agree with
world,
that.
right? Or at least the entire geography, right? Now you can afford to get the best of the best at a lower price because you were willing to abandon your rigid notions about how people have to work for your company. So I definitely think that that is something I hope comes out of this. I hope that's the takeaway. So I kind of hope this lasts long enough for that message to sink in, because if it only lasts
It's
for a
not,
week or
yeah.
two, then companies will still be like, well, back to status quo, right? Whereas if that pain lasts just long enough, right, they might make the changes they need to make and make them faster. So yeah, de-escalation of the trade war and a transition to making work more flexible and stop making people do dumb things for no reason. That would be some
And
great
there
things
we
that come out
have
of
it.
this.
Well, guys, I mean that was no. I've
Mm-hmm.
thoroughly enjoyed this. We'll have to do some a little bit more of that. Me slinging you some random questions that comes out of these articles, but yeah, this has been a really good time. And Tony, did you?
Well, we gotta do something to pass all this quarantine time, TJ. What else are we gonna do?
Man, I don't know. You
You can't podcast during quarantine,
know,
then when?
and Netflix only can provide so much entertainment before you start getting into like the C and D list movies. So, yeah. By the way, guys, I do want to throw this out there for any of you moviegoers who really love going to the theaters. Well, with movie theaters being closed in most states, they have decided to push these movies to Apple and Google Play and the other platforms for rent. Now, I will say the price is high. It's like $20 to rent it. But with that being said, I mean, you're not driving to the theater if it's you and a few people watching it, you know, right? What is a movie now? $7, $8 a person. If you got five people watching it, you kind of got your money's worth. Actually, I watched Invisible Man this morning and very entertaining movie. Definitely had a good time with that. Had coffee while I watched it, ate some breakfast. It was a fantastic moment in my life.
Hey, no, I didn't know that until right now, so I appreciate the tip. Now I know what I'm gonna do after we get off this call to kill the rest of my
Yeah,
daily
go and check
quarantine
it
hours.
out. There's some good ones on there. I think you guys would thoroughly enjoy it. But that's all I got, Tony.
All right. Hey, take care of yourself
All
down
right,
there,
be
TJ.
good.
Stay safe.